People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
What's going on, everybody? What's going on, Eagles fans? Welcome back to the newest edition of the Philly Pod. Eagles just took down the New York Giants 28-3. Complete dismantling, total change of pace from what we've seen the last few weeks. My name is Ryan Conway, joined here by the one and only Victor Williams and Caitlin Clark Merchant, Stephen Conrad Jr. We're here to discuss and break down what was a complete and utter beatdown of a division rival. Still no points in the first quarter, but Vic, we've got a lot of analysis to get into, a lot of notes we got to dig through.
Yeah, Stephen, notes. Foreign to you. I know.
A lot of stuff we got to get into and break down. So, Vic, take it away. Let's get this show on the road.
Yes, sir. Not going to lie. You caught me off guard by starting the pod because I was, as soon as I opened my mouth, you started talking.
Me too.
And I was like, oh, shit. So this man designated himself as the intro guy.
You designated me.
I designated you for that one show, but now you're just doing it moving forward. That's good.
You want that from your intro guy, though.
You do. You want him to take initiative.
You got
to
take it by the balls, dude.
Take it by the balls. Yes.
I got to make an impression.
Yes.
And I also wasn't too happy with my last time, so I wanted a little redemption arc.
He studied.
It was good. It was good. Yes, be sure to follow these guys if you haven't already. Myself at the Philly Pod, Ryan Conway at RyanConway76 on Twitter. Steven, if you want to read about how the WNBA is fumbling Caitlin Clark at the moment, because 100,000 people have already read it on the website.
And
Steven is very proud of it. So go read that on the website. Follow Steven on Twitter at Real Steven Conrad Jr. You can follow the show, Apple iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. Appreciate you guys for doing so. If you are new to the show, thank you guys for checking it out. First post game we've done like the same day of the game in a while. Feels good to get up here and talk about it, immediately react to the aforementioned by Conway beatdown that the Eagles gave the Giants. The first time, holy hell, the Eagles have blown out an opponent for the first time since week 7
of
last year.
By the way, in MetLife Stadium. I didn't know.
MetLife.
I guess Hurts is like 1-4 in MetLife Stadium, by the way.
Yeah, they were 0-2 last year, I think. Right. So. They lost both games last year to the Giants.
No, just the one away game, and then obviously we lost to the Jets.
Yeah, so 0-2 at MetLife last year. They lost to the Giants and lost to the
Jets. Yes.
Yeah.
So I was right. You corrected me for no reason whatsoever. Yes, 0-2 at MetLife. 0-2 at MetLife.
No, but you made whatever.
I made it sound like it was 0-2 against the Giants. All right.
Yeah, whatever, dude. Whatever.
You did.
I'm not going to lie to you. I was trying to figure out the other two losses he had at MetLife, and I got the other one. So I have three. The one that sticks out in my head is that game when Reagor dropped like two straight passes in the fourth quarter.
A few years back.
Well, way to bring us down after a fucking win.
Way to bring us down after a fucking beat down. To Conway's point, no points in the first quarter for now the seventh straight game. We have to try again next week.
But what they did
score 28 points. They won this game 28-3. Improved to 4-2 on the season. Saquon drop away from 5-1. We'll bring it up every episode because they should be 5-1 right now. But we'll take 4-2. The Eagles had the most complete game of the year up until this point, behind a monster performance from Saquon Barkley, behind another clean, efficient game from Jalen Hurts. Only had to throw the ball 14 times. A lot less chance of a turnover when you only have to throw the ball 14 times, but another good, impressive game from Jalen Hurts. We'll get into all of that. But first, guys, start with you, Steven. Immediate reactions after the game. How are we feeling? 4-2, 28-3. Not much to complain about after this one. After weeks of somber, you know, pods, really good energy after today's win.
This is exactly what the doctor ordered or whatever. I mean, we finally won a game by multiple scores.
You look like you need a doctor. I'll say that.
I feel like I need a doctor at this point. It's been a crazy October. I can't stop saying it, dude. Like, this was the most normal, yeah, relatively so, most normal watching experience if you're a Philly sports fan this October. A 28-3 win on the road against the New York Giants. I mean, the only complaint I have is what you just highlighted, is the fact that they somehow managed to not score again in the first quarter. Like, they're lucky this was the Giants they were playing and Daniel Jones is their quarterback. But, I mean, there's just – I'm not going to sit here and complain too much about that. There's a lot of positive things you can really take from this game on both sides of the ball. I mean, you know, the Saquon Barkley revenge game is what this will probably be remembered as far as the offensive side of the ball. But I mean, I was encouraged by the defense, obviously only surrendering 3 points, but also like the pass rush, Vic Fangio seemed to send the blitz. He looked pretty creative. I'm just kind of spitballing right now, just general takeaways from this game. Offensively, yeah, Jalen 10 of 14. I mean, look, if you're only throwing 14 passes, I mean, you hope your QB is not going to turn the ball over. But 10 of 14 is very efficient. And it felt like when he did complete passes, they were pretty meaningful. I'm sure I don't have it in front of me, but most of the time he completed a pass, chances are we were moving the chains. It was a first down throw. Mm-hmm. My only concern with him is I don't understand how Devontae Smith has one reception
for negative two.
I'm sorry. I know you pass 14 times, very little. That's like high school football, but like, it's kind of crazy if you really think about it. But I liked what I saw really quickly with AJ Brown. It seemed like they were attacking the quick passing game with him. That's been my thing with AJ. Like, he's such a great player, and I think we take him for granted. You kind of forget he does the little things, like, amazingly. Like, you forget you can just throw this guy a slant, and chances are he's going to catch it 5 or 7 yards, and he's going to turn it up the field for a first down. You know what I mean? Like, we kind of forgot that. Like, not everything to AJ has to be that sideline ball, which we got again today, 50-50, but, you know, I mean, look, what did he have? Yeah, 5 receptions, 89 yards, I mean, and a touchdown again. I mean, it just feels like they could throw him the ball every single play. Like, it really feels like that. Honestly, guys.
They basically
you know what I'm
did.
We could
they
throw
did.
Him the ball.
They did half of Hurts' total completions. And then three other ones went to running backs, twice to Saquon, the other to Gainwell. And then just Calcaterra and Smitty just toiling.
Yeah,
just blocking on the
outside. I almost bet Calcaterra's under, I think it was 2.5 receptions, so I'm kind of mad at myself, but whatever.
Hey, man. But outside of bets we should or shouldn't have placed or could have placed, I mean, it was a good win. I'm going to stay away from great just because of the slow start again. Like,
that's
obviously, we're playing the Giants. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be mad that, I mean, we beat a team by 25 points. That's great. We beat the shit out of the New York Giants. I hate the Giants. That's perfect. But yeah, there's some things that got to get, you know, that had to get cleaned up a little bit, and they showed the ability to make those adjustments, and just kind of this team both on the offensive and defensive side of the ball, is, you know, just getting confidence in themselves moving forward. And obviously having AJ Brown with half of your team's total receptions, one of them was an admittedly perfectly thrown ball from Jalen Hurts down the sideline.
Elite ball placement.
That was
for those that are curious. If that was elite ball placement,
that was a beautiful play. So there's a lot of good things to take away from it. It's just, all right, you kind of, this is kind of a building block. Like, this is the result that I expect out of this team. We're not shocking the world beating the Giants 28-3.
No,
I don't care how negative you are about this team, but no.
I'm shocked that they did it as handedly as they did after what they showed against the Browns. I expected like another gritty, like division game, like maybe they'll win by a touchdown. So I am encouraged by the performance they put forth today.
Largely,
I can't hold the passing game at fault too much because we knew it was going to be the Saquon game. It was eerily similar to how AJ acted right after the Titans trade, downplayed it all week. Nah, I'm just going to prepare like normal, blah, blah, blah. It's just another week. But you knew once that game came that there was going to be something extra added to it. And Saquon all week long said, I'm just going to prepare. I don't know how I feel about it, blah, blah, blah. But he said like he saw people burning his jersey in the parking lot. And he was like, I was ready for 3rd and 1 at that moment. I was going to run through everybody and all this. And he showed it out today. Finished the day with 17 carries, 176 yards, and 3 quarters, by the way. Hardly played in the fourth. A touchdown, 10.4 yards per carry. Also added 2 catches for 11 yards. He had his second most rushing yards in a single game. I think 13 yards shy of his career high. Sirianni asked him, do you want to go for it? Barkley said, let the other guys eat. So that's why we saw Gainwell. So good on Saquon. Shows a lot about a character when you don't want to set a new career high against your former team that didn't want to keep you. If it's me, I'm running for 200 plus. so I can stick it to him. But he was like, I made my point. I'm not going to play. Let Gainwell, let all of them get in there if they want to.
So I'd be like, if they're running play action, I'm taking the ball from Jalen Hurts.
I'm literally ripping the ball out of his hand.
Snatching it, and I'm just running
by
angry
the way,
downhill.
Guys, what did you notice about the run game today, aside from Saquon Barkley obviously killing
Hurts was under center for a lot of it.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
There it is.
Hell yeah. When his first play was from under center, I was like, oh, they come in different today. They're going to let Saquon.
I don't know. Part of me was like, they're just going to run this one fucking play under center, and then they're going to go back to shotgun on everything. But
Barkley ran for 189 yards against Washington in 2019, so 13 yards shy of the career high. This was also the second most rushing yards in NFL history by a player against his former team. Cedric Benson ran for 189 yards against the
Bears. He had 17 carries, though.
Only 17. He could have had 24-plus and had 220 yards if he wanted to. Cedric Benson ran for 189 against the Bears with the Bengals way back in 2009. So a historic performance from Saquon. We knew it was coming. We knew that he was going to be geared up for this one, despite what he may have said during the week. And he carried that offense. Jalen Hurts didn't have to do a lot. He did what he was asked to do. Barkley put the team on his back and led this team. I told you guys last week that the Eagles led the league in 40-plus yard scrimmage plays with 7. They added 2 more today with that 41-yard touchdown to A.J. Brown and the 55-yard run by Saquon Barkley in that game. So we're seeing more and more glimpses of how explosive this offense can be. And if Saquon is going to be running like this weekly, we know it's against the Giants, and he was amped up for this. But if this is how the offense is going to be, run with Saquon to the point where defenses are going to bite on it, and then you hit the play action, find A.J., find Smitty when Hurts actually sees him on a crossing route because he didn't on that 3rd down, wide open, right? The play before the AJ touchdown. We don't have to hamper on it a whole bunch because he did hit AJ on the next play. But how AJ did not see Devontae underneath on that crossing route on a play that he scored 1 week earlier is beyond me. But that's neither here nor there. But encouraging signs that in 2 weeks in a row, we're seeing explosiveness from the offense. And I hope this is a trend moving forward.
Absolutely. I mean, this is the kind of offense that this team was put together to create. And right. Steve, you were mentioning earlier about AJ Brown, you know, he can do everything that you would want a wide receiver to do. So obviously the sideline shot is great, but you know, kind of the over the middle of the field, quick slants, things like that are, if the defense gives that to you, or even if they don't, it's AJ Brown. Yeah. He's huge. Like, it doesn't matter. If they give you an inch, he's going to take a mile every time. So, I mean, I think the game plan today and the execution worked out. It just took a quarter to get revved up
and as it always does,
as it seems
as it always does,
which is, you know, obviously not something that you can have happen against a good football team. We saw it in Tampa. You know,
you punched in the mouth.
Yeah, they make you pay when you don't do that, as opposed to Daniel Jones getting sacked like seven times over the course of the game.
Eight times today. Yep. Talk about the defense shortly.
Yeah, dude. Same number on his jersey. That's tough. That's tough. That's not
standing
good
for the number of times you get sacked.
I will say, and this isn't so much a Jalen Hurts criticism, just more like, obviously, they missed Jordan Mailata. Some of those sacks today on Hurts were.
Yeah. Fred Johnson looked lost against Brian Burns. That man did not go
good. Not good at all. But, you know, regardless, you know, like you said, fantastic outing, especially from Saquon. That's why you brought him here. And I have to say, when it comes to Saquon Barkley, like, how dumb are these Giants fans?
Like, for booing Saquon?
I mean, look, you can boo him. I mean, it's whatever.
It's part of the thing, yeah. But it's not his fault he's not there anymore. That's what fans don't understand, I feel like.
Yeah, it's like,
go blame the front office. Go boo the front office.
Yeah,
stand
like,
outside
they make
the
it
organization
seem like it was some
and boo
Ben
them.
Simmons situation or something. He just fucking left in free agency, man.
Oh, no. Saquon left for more money to play for a better team. Oh, no. Oh, no.
He told New York, like, hey, this is what they offered me. Do you want to match it? And they're like, nah, we're good. He's like,
I think the clip from Hard Knocks is like they're giving him like upwards of 13. And Show was like, I'm out. I'm not doing this. We're done. Yeah. That's what he's getting. We're out. We're not paying this. We're going to go ahead. Devin Singletary, $8 million.
They're literally on tape. They're literally caught in 4K doing this.
8K on some TVs.
8K, dude, Ultra HD. On the curve television, remember those?
Oh, man.
But yeah, dude, it's insane the level of disrespect that he's been shown by that fan base. Obviously, to a degree, and Jason Kelsey was talking about this on Twitter a little bit earlier.
Oh yeah,
He's like, I get why you hate him. He left you, went to the Eagles. I mean,
it's a division rival. I would hate
I was
too.
Mad at DeSean Jackson for going to the.
Oh, I wasn't. I hated the Eagles.
I wasn't mad at DeSean.
We knew why DeSean went there. We all knew as fans.
No, it made sense, but I was still mad about it. I was like, God damn.
But you weren't
like,
mad at DeSean, though. You were mad at the Eagles for letting that happen.
I was a little mad at him, yeah.
Damn.
I was also, what, like 13? That's so, true. Like, my emotions were far from regulated
I was mad
properly.
At the Eagles organization, man.
No, but yeah, that sucked.
I was 19 in college when that happened. So, how old are you?
I wasn't mad at him for, like, you know, I mean, he got cut. So, like, it's not, he didn't ask to leave.
But he did get to pick where he signed, and he made it a point. I'm like, going to the division because I'm going to shit on these dudes every chance I can. And that's what Saquon did today. That's what Saquon.
It sucked.
That's what Saquon did today. Saquon Barkley has broken the Eagles' record for most rushing yards in the first six games of a season at 659. LeSean McCoy had 630 back in 2013. So Saquon Barkley chugging well on his way to the rushing title if he keeps running like this. Steven, what did you make of Saquon Barkley's performance today against his former team?
I mean, he was great. I mean, I would probably be thankful more so for the scheme offensively, because I felt like against the Browns and honestly the whole season, all his handoffs were in the shotgun. And I mean, obviously the game has trended in that direction, especially the pros over the last few years. You see more and more of these college schemes coming over to the NFL. But at the end of the day, and I'm sure if you interviewed and asked most running backs in the NFL, they would tell you they prefer for the offense to be under center when they're receiving the ball in running situations, you know? And, I mean, you saw some of that today. I'm sure maybe somebody will provide us with some statistics on how he performed, you know, in the shotgun versus under center carries. But, I mean, he's just great. I mean, he's the total package. I'm not going to lie to you. I feel like I'm taking him for granted because
I do too, in a way.
It's kind of insane when you look at his box scores this season. There's a few games that stick out and you're just like, holy shit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's Saquon Barkley. Like, if this was any other name, I feel like we'd be making a bigger deal about it. But it's the fact that this guy. And look, it's a testament to obviously him, but also, like, you can say what you want, man. Like, you can say whatever about running backs aging and stuff like that. But this guy is still, like, pound for pound in terms of talent. I mean, He's got to be the best running back in the league. Am I wrong?
Like, I say so. I would say so. I feel like after he had 54 yards and like 20 touches last week, and then he came out and did the, I just feel like Giants fans spent a majority of the offseason, and for good reason, because they was bitter and upset and all this. They spent the majority of the offseason telling us he's washed, he's not rookie Saquon anymore, he's beat up, he's injured, all the mileage, what have you. But like, you should be able, they watched Saquon more than anybody, and they watched him and they sat and convinced themselves that this guy is not a good football player anymore. And then you just see the natural things he can do with the football in his hands. And I just don't understand how Giants fans arrived at the conclusion that this man is not a good football player anymore, that he's not the running back that deserves $13 million and some change. He's starting to look underpaid at this point, the stuff he's doing. I'm like, hand him more. $13 million is not enough at this point. He does so much for this team. And you couldn't ask more from a we were all weary coming into the season, like, oh my God, I hope like this isn't a bad signing. We're all got PTSD from the DeMarco Murray stuff. But this guy has been he's been worth every penny of that contract and more. He's been well worth the investment to this point. And if he's gonna continue to play like this, the Eagles have a very high ceiling offensively anyway, as long as Hurts continues to play clean football and everybody stays healthy, of course. Jalen Hurts, the second consecutive game without a turnover. Like we said earlier, only 14 pass attempts. So the opportunities for the defense to get takeaways was limited. But another clean game. He made good decisions, and I liked what I saw from Jalen Hurts. The Eagles improved to 12-1. When Jalen Hurts does not commit a turnover. So continue that recipe for success.
That makes kind of perfect sense.
Keep running it up. And like I said, the one lost was the wild card game loss last year. When it feels like that every time he plays the Bucks, it's a bunch of turnovers, but he didn't commit one. So that's the one loss. Some people on Twitter were asking me what the one was. So that is that, if you didn't catch that from the last pod episode.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We know there's power in our numbers. We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C., not extremist Bernie Moreno. If elected, Moreno can make the Radical Project 2025 playbook a reality, endangering our democracy and our hard-won rights and freedoms. Together, we can stop Moreno and his allies from reversing everything our ancestors fought for: Social Security, voting rights, and more. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of life-saving drugs like insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Do we, at any point before we switch over to the defense, do we want to give Nick Sirianni any flowers for today's performance or not? Did he have a good game plan coming in here? How do we feel that Nick? I saw him talking to Saquon on the side, and they looked like they had a good little budding as the temperature cooled on the hot seat of Nick Sirianni.
I feel thumbs up. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and overflow. I do kind of wish he did, like I was talking about last week. You kind of wish he did just lean into being a complete and utter lunatic.
I thought he was headed there after the many men stuff. I was like, oh, he's about to go off. He's about to go off.
He was like comically normal today. He was like almost too normal. But
it was like the third quarter, and I was like, we haven't seen Nick Sirianni on camera yet. Like, what's going on?
It's like they figured out, like last week I was talking about how they had him on some kind of drug and they over sedated him. I think they found out the right dosage for Nick Sirianni. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's baked ziti before the game. I don't know exactly what that is, because too much of that can definitely sap your energy. But no, yeah, I mean, I say well done. I think a good job in terms of adjusting, and maybe I don't know all the things that are going on, but you know, we saw clips from practice, Kellen Moore kind of taking the reins a tiny bit in certain situations.
We saw that in practice.
Yeah.
Oh, did you?
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Well, yeah. So
I'm not being an ass. I'm genuinely shocked.
You didn't tweet a clip of that?
No, I didn't. I didn't see it. No,
yeah. He was working with Hurts under center.
Oh, my God.
I practiced this week.
Oh, my God.
So people are like, so someone's like, he's wrestling control away from Nick Sirianni wrestling. 1 week at a time.
Good find. I didn't see that.
Yeah, no. So I mean, I don't know if that's different or, you know, I'm not at practice every day. There are people who are, most of them on the team. Mm-hmm. But point being is that, there seems to be a little bit of a, I don't know, an attitude adjustment for everybody involved. And I think that's going to just, you know, Nick, you focus on motivating, focus on putting guys in the spots to succeed. And ideally, you know, you're not making bad offensive play calls or lying about making bad defensive play calls.
Yeah,
never happened.
You know, the old adage rings true. Winning cures all.
Can I just be honest? This whole thing fucking sucks.
In what?
What are we? What are we referencing? You can't just say that and not say anything afterwards.
This was the most normal fucking game this year. 28-3 win against the lowly Giants on the road, and we're sitting here like, I don't know, man. It feels like we didn't see much of Sirianni today. Like this is what we're saying right now.
It's true. I don't think it's a bad thing.
He was like the main storyline last week. You expect us not to address it? What are you mad about?
I'm not blaming you guys. I'm just saying this whole situation sucks because this is the situation that Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie created.
If he's not, I see what you mean.
You see what I mean? They created this.
By what? By bringing him back?
Should have seen this coming. Yes.
How did they create them?
As a CEO style head coach.
I'm trying to figure out why you're angry. What are you upset? What are you upset about?
Well, it just
I do
sucks.
See how
it
it's annoying
sucks.
that is a storyline.
He's a storyline every week. Well, he's on the hot seat. It's gonna be. It's gonna be a story every week.
No, I get that side of it, but I'm just saying it's the fact that this was the most normal game this year. They win 28-3, and we're
winning
sitting
cares
here like,
all, man. Winning cares all.
We're sitting here saying, and I'm not saying you're wrong for feeling this way, but we're sitting here saying like if Sirianni just didn't even show up to work today, we'd be just fine. It's the fact that we have to say that.
You know what it was?
It's the
because
fact that we have to sit here and say, where was he today? That's the fact that we have to say that.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying like
I don't think
just,
I said that at all.
I did not say that. I'm
you.
Saying that I just didn't see him on the broadcast because the broadcast was because he wasn't doing anything wild
he
on the sidelines.
He wasn't doing anything completely out of pocket.
But that's
yeah.
my point, though. Like, it's tough. Like, no wonder he went crazy. No wonder he shaved his fucking head and did all that stuff. He can't win. Like, look. I have my feelings about him as a head coach, but there's the other side of this where it's like, damn, it kind of sucks to be him because if they just blow somebody out, he doesn't get any credit for it. But if they lose,
we just
he's
gave
the
him
guy.
Credit. I led this segment by saying, should we give him his flowers? Because we're recognizing that Sirianni had the team prepared this week.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. And that's exactly what I'm saying.
Steven's saying that fans won't do that.
In
that,
general, your, I mean, look, just turn on the radio tomorrow. You'll see the whole thing. They'll be like, oh, man, I could have coached this team.
I'm going to turn on the radio tomorrow and I'll listen for that. But no, yeah, like I get what you're saying. I also kind of disagree. I don't really know. Like,
I don't know. Exactly. I'm really
disagree
don't know
with
Steven's
what,
stance
though?
On this whole thing. What
I mean,
you,
like,
you're mad about Nick Sirianni being a storyline. You're mad about that.
I'm not mad. I'm just like highlighting the situation. It just kind of sucks.
Well, that's what happens when you have a head coach
as
who
him,
acts the way
yeah.
he does. Man. As him, but as I him, from like, his perspective,
yeah,
yes, I mean, it would suck. From us as fans, no, it doesn't. It gives us something to talk about.
It does kind of suck as a fan if, like, because you're like, what the hell's going on here? Like, the last couple of weeks.
I'm personally giving him props for having the team prepared this week.
100%.
Yeah,
and
I am,
all
too.
I'm trying to say.
I am,
also
too.
Just him assuming the role a little bit better, I would say, in terms
yes.
of.
Yes, he's finding
you know,
his.
Still being, I mean, they showed him plenty of times on the broadcast.
He did seem really chill, though. He really
seemed chill today. You gotta think, like, it's not easy. Like as for you guys at your jobs, like, imagine having all this control, and then, like, performance goes down, and then your boss comes to you and says, oh, you're not gonna be running this anymore, but this is still gonna be your title, but we're gonna have somebody else do your job, and you're gonna be doing this. You'd be pissed, too. You'd be upset, too. That's how he feels, I'm saying. And no, there's a human aspect of the whole thing. He's still trying to find his footing as where am I overstepping? I still need to be important to the team. I still want to have a role in this. He's still trying to find his. I'm not. What's the word? I'm not absolving him of any of the wrongdoing.
Well,
up
that's
to,
why
up to this
I've
point.
Been optimistic about this team in general.
I think he just
this
is
year.
Finding. He's settling into what a CEO coach is supposed to be. It's unfamiliar territory for him. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So that's
I agree with that.
Point.
I wasn't really saying I'm dis- you know, upset with him or anything. I'm just kind of like highlighting the whole situation.
Yeah, that sucks for him that regardless of what happens, he will still be a focal point of
talking. Well, and the other conversation too, by the way, and I'm really interested to see what the conversation is this week around this team, but like,
yeah, me too, actually.
Obviously, we've been saying this a million times, how it's a new scheme, you know, more so on offense, but it's a new scheme on defense. But like today, I don't know, it felt like Kellen Moore had more of his fingerprints on it. And, you know, the conversation this year has been like, well, it feels like Sirianni still got his fingerprints on this offense. And that's, and I'm saying not just on these like fourth down calls or whatever it is in general, like, especially if you look back at that Browns game, the offense looked very similar to how it's always looked. But I'm just really curious this week what the conversation is going to be, because it felt a little different this week. I mean, yeah, they rode the hot hand in Saquon Barkley. Obviously, the guy's averaging, like, in this game, he was averaging like 10 yards a carry or something like that. So obviously, you're going to keep feeding him. It doesn't take a genius to do that. But I don't know. The passing concepts, I mean, they all went to A.J. Brown, but it wasn't just a go ball or a screen pass. Like,
he
there
scored.
Was like
he
intermediate
on a
stuff that I've been
ball.
Screaming from the heavens for, and we saw.
He scored on a go ball.
Yeah, of course we did. Of course we did.
Hey, when in doubt, this is my saying. When in doubt, A.J. Brown will bail you out. That's my saying.
That's true.
So that's what you do. And that's why it pays to have guys like that. To the point about Sirianni, with the road win today, Nick Sirianni has posted the second best road winning percentage since 2021 at 20-9. That's second best, only behind the Chiefs at 20-7. So he wins on the road, man.
That's very interesting, guys.
One way or another, he wins on the road.
I feel like
he likes that villain
shit.
He likes going into hostile territories and winning those games. He loves that shit.
He does.
There's something about
fighting fans like a thug.
You know what?
You know what's funny about this? Real quick, Steven. The issue last week was that Sirianni was like talking shit to the fans after winning by 4 points. If he did it today, none of us would have cared. We would have egging that shit on.
Oh, my God.
We would have been like, fuck, Sirianni, talk to him.
100%, dude. If they said run the ball to him in the first quarter and then
he ran the ball today,
to...
maybe he called plays. I don't know.
If we would have saw him talk shit to fans today, none of us would have scoffed at it. We would have all been like, fuck yeah, dude. Talk shit to them.
The point is, regardless, the offense looked better.
It did.
Obviously,
that's,
they're going
that's more of the story. More of the story.
Moral of the story, offense looked better. You know, there were some bits and pieces, you know, we don't love, but that's football, baby.
That's football.
I mean,
I will say, though, their first, I like jokingly tweeted about this today.
Oh, no.
Don't have to get into it.
Haven't checked your Twitter today. I'm scared.
What about you?
I recorded
scheming up the offense today?
I did a tush push impersonation yesterday, and I tweeted it today and said something about Sirianni's letting me handle the first 15 plays.
What was the reception to that?
I quote tweeted it.
Did you?
Oh, yeah, we won't get
I
into
said
that,
breaking but... news, TMZ has obtained footage from the infamous Diddy party.
Okay. All right. Steven, go ahead.
I mean, like, I don't know
sorry,
what
got
the hell this
pushing
team
each other's
does.
Butts. I don't know what else to tell you. It's kind of textbook Diddy. I really don't have any other words.
Hurt scored twice today on that, right? Scored twice today? Yeah. On touch
but
push.
I'm just talking about at the start of the game, like,
they script
what
the first
the
15
fuck
plays.
What does
man.
This team do? They script the first
script
15
the first
plays.
15
they're
plays.
A disaster.
Yep.
And also,
time
I don't know if Kellen Moore is trying to design like pass concepts too deep down the field, or if Jalen's just holding on to the fucking football. Scrap this shit for the love of God. He always gets sacked. I hate that shit. They'll get like a nice pickup on a first down. It'll be a nice pickup. Maybe it's a quick pass, a Saquon run. We're looking at 2nd and 6, and then this dude gets sacked. And it just ruins the start of the game. That's what happened today.
Yep. They picked it up as we figured they would. I didn't think
so. I have some complaints about Jalen. It was a good game, but he still left some meat on the bone.
This is as clean of a game that you can get from Jalen, bro. I don't know what you
want.
He threw a touchdown. He had 140 point something rating.
Yes, he had a great game, but
119.3 rating.
Meat left on the bone. That touchdown
again,
to AJ
14 pass attempts, bro. What do you want? It's a Saquon game. You're not going to get it all. You can't feed everybody.
The play
in this
right
game,
before man. The AJ Brown touchdown, Smitty was wide open right in front of him. He didn't throw the ball.
Yes, that is an issue. That is an issue.
So what I'm saying is these slow starts, I blame him. He gets just as much as blame as the guys coordinating this shit, because it's unacceptable at this point. We're just going to ignore it because we won 28-3 today.
Literally, yeah, probably.
I mean, yes, I am personally.
Yeah, literally.
No,
yes.
We have to talk about this because it's a problem.
Let's
How
talk
do
about
you
it.
Not
Let's talk
score
about it when it costs us a game.
Fucking Giants team in the first quarter. I'll take a field goal.
They scored 4 touchdowns today, bro.
It is. Know.
This is the one
is
week
insane.
We don't have to harp on it. This is the one week
it
we don't have to harp on.
It is insane that, and we did touch on it earlier. It is insane that that happened again. No doubt about it. Really, it is nuts that that continues to happen. That we haven't done it all year. I would say, like I said earlier, like if there's a team to do that against, it'd be the New York Giants. Obviously, there are other teams, like when we played the Bucks, where you do that and that creates the you being down by 3 touchdowns in like the first quarter and change.
Running 6 plays and being down by 21. Yeah, not
dude,
gonna fly.
Nothing worse
against functional
nothing
offenses
worse than that.
Like you do that against the Lions, you're it's 21-0 in the first quarter. If you do that,
you might
the
as well just give up. Yeah,
that's where but, we're at.
Mm-hmm. But I would say in terms of using this week, like, you know, like I said, as a building block moving forward, mm-hmm. I just think, yeah, they got to figure it out. I mean, it was nice to see, you know, first play of the game. Nice completion. Keep it moving. I really thought we were going to score on the opening drive. I really had those. That I really did. And then
yeah, I
think the first play was that AJ first down.
Yeah,
right?
It was.
You were right to him.
I was listening on the radio. I was clapping.
It's not a matter of they rack up yards. They just can't score. They get yards. Mm-hmm. They don't have trouble moving the football. They just like stall or turn the ball over. One of the two.
Why do they
stall? They'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. They still got too easy. They got the Jags.
You
and
think
the
they're
going to
figure this shit out?
I do. I have confidence.
Figuring out, by the way, is not scoring. Like, I'll be happy if they score in general in the first quarter. But doing it against a 0-6 or whatever the fuck they are Jaguars team is not going to make me, like, think they just figured
the
problem
today.
Out.
They want to. They look pretty good against the Patriots.
Yeah, dude, the Jags look nasty today.
Yeah, it took a London game.
Brian Thomas is nice. These rookie receivers are different this year. Speaking of rookie receivers, any final points on the offense before we switch?
No. I think I've said my piece. All I'll say is that Brian Thomas Jr. is proud Louisiana
LSU.
State University Tiger.
Got a lot teammate of one Malik Nabers. Yeah. Teammate mm-hmm. of one Malik Nabers.
See, wide receiver duos coming out of
LSU
is always something else.
LSU is where we're at. The Eagles defense had a party today. They held the Giants to just 3 points. They had 8 sacks today. After starting the year with just 6 sacks in the first 4 weeks, they have 13 in the last 2. Granted, you're playing Deshaun Watson and Daniel Jones, but we will take sacks. We didn't even know if they'd be able to sack those guys because they couldn't get the statue Kirk Cousins when they played Atlanta. But they are racking them up this week. N'Kobe Dean with the best stat line of the day. I believe he had 2 sacks. 11 tackles, 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss, 4 QB hits. N'Kobe Dean starting to figure it out. Josh Sweat is up to 3 sacks in the last 3 games. He's coming on. Bryce Huff is looking like night and day from the way he started. He had a sack today.
He almost had more than just that
I
one.
Know. He's generating pressure. He's getting after the quarterback. Fangio's figuring out how to use him. And after a piss-poor start to the year, he's coming on. And I'm
Huff
liking
told,
what I'm
basically told Fangio
guys.
How to use him.
On the bye week, he went up to him. He was like, you old fuck. Make me put
That's
my hand
fire,
in the dirt.
Dude. I love that
And
shit.
I will
I'm
rush
a
the quarterback.
Bryce Huff
I'm not standing
now,
up
honestly,
anymore.
I mean.
I'm not standing up anymore.
I was
you guys
worried he
make...
was the Tobias of this team, but that shit.
It was heading that way, but I like what I'm seeing from him recently. Something that caught me off guard to start the game, we saw Josh Sweat and Brandon Graham lined up on Malik Nabers at some junctures of this
Jesus
game.
Christ.
It went about as good as you could expect on the rep against Josh Sweat, called a completion. Brandon Graham, like, gave him a
Locked
rub.
Locked his ass up.
In, like, the slot. He, like, gave him a run, and then he, like, ran. But, like, to seeing Brandon Graham standing up like in the slot against across from Malik Nabers, I never thought I would see it. So interesting stuff Fangio is doing for what it didn't burn us, but it was definitely like, why the fuck is Brandon Graham on Malik Nabers in the slot? But that is neither here nor there. Conway, your takeaways on the defensive performance we saw today at MetLife Stadium.
So this is what we needed from our defensive front, first and foremost, because the secondary, especially the young guys, have looked good all year. Obviously, Cooper DeJean slotting in just last week, so that doesn't really count. But I'm more just thinking of Quinyon in general. Another solid game out of him. Bricks for hands, though. Got to catch that pick.
Get him on the jugs. It's like 5 picks now you're dropping. You got to.
It's like he didn't need that one. It's not like, oh, damn, that would have changed the course of the
Quinyon
game.
Quinyon ran the route. It was like Malik Nabers covering Quinyon at that point.
Pretty much. And he Quinyon burnt Malik Nabers on that one, essentially. But yeah, so I would have liked to have seen that. But in terms of a general defensive performance, about as good as you can get against an offense as bad as that one. So we do have to kind of keep that in mind. I mean, they're hitting Daniel Jones. This is still the New York Giants we're talking about. My boy, Big Pimpin', Jalix Hunt, got into the backfield.
He did. Sure did.
It's a Jalix Hunt party, baby.
Even got Jalix Hunt.
Yeah, so it was good, and kind of like I was talking about last week, especially with Bryce Huff, but with the defensive front in general, getting those hits on the quarterback, even when it comes against bad teams, just proves to you that you can do it. You're kind of seeing, all right, well, this works. These moves are kind of, you know, jiving with what I'm trying to do here, what I'm feeling comfortable doing. And then you can kind of take that and apply it to when you're going up against an actual, like, solid offense. Obviously, maybe not going to get 8 sacks against a more vaunted offensive line or anything like that. You might, but at least it gives you, when you're lined up across from the guy in front of you, you're like, I can beat him because I've beat people before.
I've never done it
in an Eagles uniform until like last week.
Forget sacks. Pressure. He didn't have tackles. He wasn't hitting anybody.
He didn't have anything. He was completely lost. And so going up against the Browns, going up against the Giants, like, this is a good kind of tune-up portion of the schedule. We should absolutely not be losing this game, of course. But, you know, the fact that they showed out and, you know, there wasn't the too much of the Vic Fangio tax returns, as Steven likes to say, not a lot of that, which was nice to see. So I would, you know, highly rate the defense across the board. Not too many complaints. But then again, you know, stopping the Giants offense is like, you know, drinking water. It's like you actually have to do that or you'll die.
Yeah,
so
you don't want to applaud a fish for swimming.
I'll still give some claps anyway.
That's why I'm too scared to give too much credit to Fangio. But at the same time, like, obviously this team, even last year, for the most part would handle, I got to watch what I say here, they would handle business against weaker teams. But
did we watch the same last, like, 8 games of that year last year? Because they didn't handle anything.
That's why I said that. I mean... It's just, I'm
about,
just
boy?
Scared to
we
give
lost
him
to Drew Lock.
I don't want to sit here.
Who we saw today?
Drew Lock in the game today. I was like, oh fuck, we're coming back.
We're losing.
No, I know.
Got PTSD seeing him in the game.
It's the fucking Giants, man. Like, we've always handled them, but I don't know. I mean, I just don't want to sit here and give too much credit, but like, I was pretty moved. I've been moved over the last 2 weeks with this defense, and I just feel like it's Fangio's fingerprints all over the place. And, you know, you guys mentioned N'Kobe Dean having 2 sacks. Like, you know, you got to give credit to Fangio. He's like dialing stuff up here. Like, he's sending them on the blitz, by the way, for a guy who doesn't really blitz, a coordinator who's not known for blitzing. You're seeing names here. Like, if you just look down, some of these names over the last 2 weeks are names like guys who are predominantly like guys who are defending the pass that are recording sacks. You know what I mean? So I'm just moved
name me,
by
name
it.
Me,
I'm
name
moved
me one of those it. Names that is defending the pass.
Well, Cooper DeJean had one last week. Oh, okay. N'Kobe Dean had 2 this week.
Because today was like all edge rushers. So you see Nolan Smith. You see N'Kobe.
Fangio drops like. I know what you're saying, but like, I don't know what an edge rusher is to Fangio because he.
I don't know. He has Graham
the
first, in the slot
whatever weeks of the season
the
had
6 overall pick. So
yeah, I mean, he has right. Like, so I don't know. Like, I don't know what you want me to say about that. So, and like, Jalix Hunt somehow had one in this game. Like, are we sure he's an edge rusher? Like, what the fuck is
he's
he?
Yes, I'm positive he's an edge rusher. What else?
Not,
is
are we sure?
Yes,
are we sure?
I'm positive.
He's not an outside
sure?
backer.
Yes. I'm positive.
Or is that the same thing? What do we call it? What do we consider these positions now?
I consider them all edge rushers.
N'Kobe Dean had 2 sacks today.
Yeah, he's a linebacker. He's a coverage linebacker.
That's what I'm saying.
I know.
And Cooper DeJean had 1 last week.
I'm very proud of N'Kobe Dean.
I'm proud. Me too. I'm proud of him and Nolan today because Nolan was having a rough go and he's getting Smith. After. And you can see the confidence within Nolan, like just brewing. Like in these next couple weeks, to your point, Conway, when they start playing better teams and you're using these weaker teams to build confidence.
Well, I hope so, man. Like
Nolan
why
Smith is going to know, like, I can rush the quarterback. Like, I've done it and I'm going to be able to get after some of these quarterbacks. Now, we're talking about a poor offensive line for the Giants who didn't have Andrew Thomas. So that was another thing. But racking up 8 sacks in the NFL is impressive regardless who it is. So I think when you have guys with multiple sacks, Jalen Carter, Nakobe Dean, you have Nolan Smith, I think having all these guys racking up sacks and building the confidence is only going to bode well for them moving forward. A big highlight or a big storyline actually coming into this was the Malik Nabers, Quinyon Mitchell, two top rookies who are going to be facing off two rookies who have been stout. Coming into the game, Quinyon Mitchell, third in the NFL with 8 forced incompletions. Malik Nabers, prior to his concussion, was averaging 96.5
receiving
yards.
What'd you just say, third in the NFL?
Third in all of the NFL with 8
Holy
forced incompletions.
Holy shit, guys.
Yep. Hell yeah. And Malik Nabers was coming into this game averaging 96.5 receiving yards per game. So people were looking at that and looking at the matchup. And Quinyon held his own, of course. And Malik Nabers was held to his worst game of his career. To this point, I believe he only had 40-something yards. He had 4 catches for 41 yards. That is,
I'm not going to lie. He had one early for an easy first down.
That
and
first,
I'm like,
that first like, possession,
I
was like, oh,
God,
fuck, he's going to have like 10
I
catches.
Was like, it's going to be one of those games.
He
I know
got up and did like
that.
A gesture the first down. I was like, oh, hell no, bro.
I was like, it's going to be one of those fucking games.
It's
going to
be
not doing
oh,
it today.
Speaking of giving flowers, I'm giving my flowers. I'm going to do it. Steven, cover your ears.
I know what you're going to do, and I swear to God, I'm not going to let you do it.
Darius Slay showed up.
He wasn't guarding.
Bro.
No, don't you
he
dare.
He had Nabers on lock, bro.
He wasn't guarding
had
their best player.
On lock.
Stop.
He had a pass breakup on Nabers. On Nabers, literally.
That's great. He's Darius Slay. His name is his nickname is Big Play Slay, and this defense still, by the way, can't force a fucking turnover for some reason.
Yeah, we're going to have to work on that. Going to have to work on that at some point. But Slay had a good game. Quinyon.
Probably the only time we'll do it this year.
Quinyon had a good game. These total yards that the Giants allowed only 119.
He's going to go on Kay Adams' podcast and she's dating Daniel Jones. Whatever. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Is she? Oh, yeah. She did say one day, like, protect my boyfriend or what have you. 119.
Looked like a boy today out there on the field.
What? 119 total yards. The Giants. The Eagles. The Eagles had their least amount of passing yards surrendered since the NFC Championship game against the 49ers. So good on the pass defense for keeping Daniel Jones in check, as if that's a hard thing to do. But they had Malik Nabers, who everyone was like, oh, he might feast against this defense. I saw a lot of bettors online. Like, take Nabers' yards, take his receptions, take it all. Conway, you look like you were guilty of betting on Malik Nabers today. So
started
him in fantasy. The Eagles? Is that what you did?
He had a respectable fantasy score. I think he had like 8 points.
So you know what? Right. I respect that, though, because I'm done betting.
I never bet on players that are facing the Eagles anyway. Like, I don't have it in my blood to do that. So that's I'm not putting my money on players.
All I'm
going
saying is, if I have a wide receiver against the Eagles, I don't know about now moving forward, but at the beginning of this year, they're playing the Birds, and I had them on the roster. Wide receiver 1.
Yeah, Drake 100%. London. Drake London was going nuts.
Oh, dude, my buddy drafted Drake London way too high. Well, I guess not now, but the moment it looked it was way too high.
He's a bona fide WR1 these days with Kirk.
I was at that Atlanta game with Dunphy in the end zone where he caught that pass, and the first person I thought of was my dude Sitka. I was like, it's like I never should have opened my mouth on draft day. I completely sold the Eagles down the river with that.
I've said it. The Eagles defense held the Giants to 105 passing yards today. So again, the least amount of yards surrendered since the 49ers only had 83 yards in the NFC Championship game. So good on the defense for getting after the quarterback. Good on the pass defense for limiting Nabers and that passing attack. And the rushing attack was never a threat. Singletary, Tyrone Tracy, who's been coming on as a pass catcher as well as a running back while Devin Singletary was out. But once you get down, there goes the running game, as we all know, and you got to throw the ball. And the Eagles did not let anything happen as far as that concerned. Once all the PFF scores and matchups come out, and obviously the All-22, we'll be able to dive deeper into exactly how the defense did with these matchups. But on the surface, from the broadcast view that we only have available at the moment, very, very impressive stout performance from an Eagles defense against a lackluster Giants offense. But impressive nonetheless, Steven. What are you looking at there? You look like...
No, I just I'm not going to lie to you guys. I have a very hard time keeping up with the NFL.
as far as
I was just sitting here looking at the box or not the box scores, the games today. Why? What am I missing here? Why did Jaden Daniels only?
He got hurt.
And they, I mean, the Panthers might be.
I mean, Marcus Mariota beat the piss out of the Panthers. They don't need Jaden Daniels to beat the Panthers. Jaden Daniels is only in for one possession, and Marcus Mariota played the rest of the game.
Yeah, because Marcus Mariota was always good. He just never had a chance.
He was just never good in Philadelphia.
Well, I mean, that's the thing.
His place of destiny, where he was always destined to play.
Same with Carson Wentz.
Nah, dude. Carson Wentz, man.
Oh, my God.
I got to do something about that jersey.
Yeah, you got to convert.
I have one, too. I have one.
Figure it out.
It's, like, basically brand new. Like, it's like
I know. I feel like, actually, because I don't know about you, man. I got it that winter he tore his ACL.
I asked for it for Christmas, and then he tore his ACL, like, 2 weeks later. I was like, fuck.
Never owned any Wentz gear. Some, like, T-shirts, like, graphic tees, but never any.
I got, like, a Hawaiian shirt with his face all over it.
Jersey on now, so it was always good. Good win for the Eagles, 28-3, 4-2. Still behind Washington in the division, but creeping up.
Yeah, that's why I was looking at there, but I was just kind of
seeing where they were at. Still trailing Washington. We'll keep an eye on the Jaden Daniels stuff and what have you. But sitting at 4-2, they have the Bengals next week. Got flexed.
Yeah, dude, they flexed us
for the Washington game that might not even have Jaden Daniels now. So we'll see.
Nice job.
That's what Goodell gets.
Very interesting, guys. I mean,
the Bengals game.
Get into it. Yeah, it's really interesting because we're gonna face a good quarterback. So yep, I'm very interested.
It's Burrow, Chase, and all them boys. And we got the Jags after that, and then it's on to Dallas. So we'll see what happens after that. Appreciate you guys for tuning into this episode of the Philly Pod, brought to you by thelibertyline.com. I am your host, as always, Victor Williams. Follow me on all social media platforms at the Philly Pod. Do the same for Mr. Ryan Conway on Twitter at RyanConway76. Steven, catch him at Steven Conrad Jr. on Twitter. Rate 5 stars, leave reviews on Apple Podcasts, Apple iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. Each and every review does help with the exposure of the show. So thank you guys for doing that. We will catch you later on in the week to dive deeper into this game, as well as preview the Eagles versus Bengals matchup. Jalen Hurts versus Joe Burrow. We get to see them on the same field for the first time since Jalen's rookie year, I believe. I think Jalen threw a couple passes in that game. We got decimated because Carson was bad that year, but Jalen was on the field for a player.
He was in the mix for sure.
And they played against each other.
Was that the game that ended in a fucking tie? Was against them?
Maybe. I don't remember that. I try to blur that
Bengals,
season out of
by the
existence.
Way. You know that?
So, you know, McNabb did it because he didn't know the rule. He was like, I didn't know there was tying in the NFL. So
every time that happens, some guy on one of the teams goes, I didn't know you could tie.
I didn't know
like,
you could do that. I didn't know that
dude,
was possible.
It happens like not infrequently.
Wasn't that the year
I know that
we went all the way to the championship game against the Cardinals, right? We were like 9-6-1.
Oh,
and,
the
like,
other tie. McNabb era. At the end of the McNabb era, we tied the Bengals too.
We tied the Bengals twice.
That's what I'm saying. So
that definitely wasn't. Yeah, there was definitely a tie.
And then, the 2020 season. Yeah, so that's fine. And I think Hurts versus Burrow happened in college. LSU versus Bama, I think, or Oklahoma.
Oklahoma
versus Burrow. So they
yeah,
that
was when I hated Jalen Hurts. So I was
wait, did Hurts
beat
him?
Dreads, and you're like I this did. Thug. Is that what it was?
Did Hurts beat him?
Oklahoma fucking got blown out.
They got blown the hell out.
That was when like Justin Jefferson and Jamar and all them were there. So it was over. We'll catch you guys later on in the week to talk about all that stuff. Appreciate you guys. Until the next one, peace out from the Philly Pod.
And Nick Sirianni, we trust.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.